Van Camp and Robbins. They take the biggest stories of the day, cut through the nonsense, and say the quiet part out loud.
You're the co-chair of this political party.
But that excites the minions when they hear that. Oh, tax the millionaires.
Well, it sounds good, and then I get free stuff. Yay!
Yeah, but nothing is free, man.
That's when being an adult really is a challenge, huh?
MVR, weekdays 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
After the conversation on Tuesday regarding the overseas trip, there was quite a few people had some additional questions to that. So I'll just ask the two questions, and if the chairman wants to answer them, he can have the rest of my time. One question was, where did you travel in that period of time? And the other question that I was asked repeatedly was, what was the total length of the trip? And so if you want to answer those, feel free. Thank you.
Ooh, drama. Jerry Cooey, one of the founding organizers of the Pitchfork Posse that I refer to all the time. People sometimes, what is the Pitchfork Posse? Well, it's a group of people who have who work together to, do what they want to do in Santa Rosa County. That's the loosest, least judgmental way I can say it. Gadflies, you might say, troublemakers, rabble rousers, people with values and goals and political agenda, and they're often quite successful. Anyway, Jerry is the constant nagging voice of whatever questions are dominating social media of the time. And right now, at this moment in the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting, it's, well, Colton, what did you do on this UK trip? Which, it's amazing to me, because to me, when the chairman goes on a trip to the air show, among other things, and meets with people who might, move businesses here or consider expanding, and we have this whole notion of expanding aviation, among other things, in this region. It's not even surprising. But, social media gets a hold of it, and, oh, it's a scandal, and how much did he spend, and is he wasting our money? I'm like, you mean by cultivating business and bringing jobs here, and is that what you're talking about? It's not a vacation. He's not going to museums and eating baguettes. I don't know. I mean, maybe he has a baguette, but, I don't begrudge somebody for, going overseas with a bunch of people from Florida and talking about Santa Rosa County. That just doesn't even occur to me that that would be something. But what happens these days with politics is, if there is an uncharitable way to view something, no matter how outrageous or low on facts it is, well, that's the preferred way to interpret something, as opposed to just, being reasonable. But I know we're well past the point of being reasonable. Some people have, again, their agenda. And, in this case, Jerry's agenda is, to have power for himself and to raise questions and to, make charges and to create drama. And we see a lot of that in social media, too. And it's just, kind of for somebody like me who more believes in find out the information, see if there's actually any problem here. If there is, call it out. If there's not, then don't. That, you know, more reasonable, more generous, grace-giving kind of approach is, I mean, I feel like as a Christian, that's kind of my obligation, let alone as a journalist. Okay, so Jerry says, where'd you go? You know, why didn't you tell anybody? Why didn't you give us a brief? Well, he did, actually, in the previous meeting. He did it also when he filled in for me. I think he might have also done an interview with, I'm not all that familiar with him, the Blackwater Report, I guess, is a blogger or, you know, podcasty type site. That's all good. I mean, it's no secret. It's, you know, literally a trip to go kind of expand business. So that's what he says.
Regarding the UK trip, it's interesting that the gentleman came up and spoke and has questions, referenced me going on a blog and discussing it before I mentioned it to anyone in the public, which, number one, isn't exactly accurate. I came and told you gentlemen and briefed you about the trip at the next available board meeting, which, right, if you look historically, I've done every time we've taken a trip, whether it was the time I attended the Air War College when Colonel Hamilton asked me to go do that. I came back and immediately told you guys what was going on. I've done that consistently. I stand consistent in defending any of the trips I've taken and knowing they were official county business and we were doing good work and we were planting seeds. At a bare minimum, we were planting seeds that were going to bear fruit in the future.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, no big state secret or anything. He talked to the county commission about it. You know, in fact, honestly, I think he had come back and I was going to ask him what he accomplished on the trip, on the mission. And then when I was going on vacation the following week, you know, I was going to have him on as a guest, like to talk about him because we do that periodically when he comes back and you know, which he was eager to do. And I said, well, why don't you just wait and tell people when you fill in for me? Like, let's just put it off. And then, you know, you can tell everybody when you're hosting the radio show. I just, you know, again, this notion that there's some, you know, big conspiracy, there's some set of facts out there to unearth. And it's all this like cherry picking of information and carefully curated presentation of things to, you know, basically foster hate and to be based on that same hate. You know, again, it's like the thing I'm always telling you. You got to give people, if you might dislike a person, and that's fine. But fairness, community, civility, decency obligate you to praise people no matter how much you dislike them when they do something right, and to criticize people no matter how much you like them when they do wrong, because that's what it means to be objective.
With regard to where I went at the time, I clearly said we went to the UK, went to London, went to Scotland. There are meetings in both places. I don't know how detailed we want to get and where I went and what I did. I mean, I guess I can try to recall how many bathroom trips I took, but that'd be, you know, I just don't know what level of detail you want. And at one point you're going to stop taking a personal vendetta against me and letting your disdain for me cloud your vision on what's good for Santa Rosa County and this entire community. I will tell you that.
Yeah, which, again, I agree with that perspective. And last comment from him about this, just because, you know, if you're going to make the allegation, then stick around for the explanation.
On the section of the trip that I went on the with the legislative delegation, I was the only one here on that trip from west of Tallahassee. I was the only one consistently telling the message and the story of Northwest Florida and how important Santa Rosa County was when we had people from Orlando, Miami, Tampa, and others constantly touting how great the state of Florida was and how everyone should come there. And if I had not been there, we would have no one telling these high-tech companies that we existed, that Whiting Aviation Park existed, and we would love to have them come and consider us. I'm all about providing jobs for our kids and grandkids, and I will continue to do that, and I will continue to defend that.
Yeah, it's like the most boring thing you could possibly imagine that's actually doing the business of the county. So it's just, you know, the question is, when you ask the question, are you actually looking for answers? Or are you looking to foster a controversy? Are you looking to create some juicy clip that you can mischaracterize out of context for social media so that you can continue to advance what is essentially a lie or fake news for the sake of clicks or for some political purpose. And again, it's just, you know, at some point in life, you kind of have to make choices about, you know, who you think is reliable, who you think is doing a fair job of presenting the various points of view. And somebody, Andrew, it sounds like, you know, you're just all in for Colton, whatever he does. Well, it's actually kind of backwards. You know how sometimes people complain about the, like the NRA gives money to some candidate, and then that candidate advances gun protection legislation or votes against gun control measures. And somebody says, well, that candidate is just, you know, paid off by the NRA. Well, it could be. I mean, that's always possible. It could also be that that candidate is somebody who believes in the Second Amendment and gun liberty. And the NRA, seeing that, wants to be on their side and sees that, you know, they're advocating for something that they believe in. To me, you know, I don't, Colton doesn't always get it right, but I would say that of all of the local legislators in both counties, Colton is in my top tier of people who make sense, get it right, is reasonable, is fair. I don't always agree with him. I mean, you know, I don't even agree with me all the time. Not like sometimes I'll change my own mind on some things. That's fine. But, you know, I always look for people who are informed, who are balanced, who are decent, who tell the truth, who tend to analyze things thoughtfully and get it right as much as possible. And, you know, in my opinion, he's in the top tier. There are several others. I don't need to name, you know, name by exclusion who the people you include. But I agree with Colton, not because he's doing things that, I don't know, some agenda I want to accomplish. I just, you know, like I said, you know, he's a person that when he's talking, what he says makes sense to me. 437-1620. It doesn't mean that what Jerry's always saying is wrong. He's not. Sometimes he's right. I just think that he goes out of his way to misunderstand things an awful lot. 520 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
When your child isn't feeling well,
Mommy,
they need a good night's sleep. That's when to reach for Vicks VapoRub. Applying a gentle layer of VapoRub on your child's chest releases soothing vapors that start working right away and provides relief that lasts up to 8 hours. It's one small act that helps everyone get a good night's sleep. Try Vicks VapoRub and trust a brand trusted by parents for over 130 years. Use as directed.
Hey, hey, Pensacola pet parents. Got questions about your fur babies? Well, I'm Dr. Mark Sprayberry, owner of Olive Branch Pet Hospital. I would like to invite you and your friends to tune in to the all-new Pet Talk, where I'll be answering all your questions live on air.
Tune in Thursday at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
My brother had his identity stolen. My neighbor did too.
Identity theft is the number one crime in America.
My gosh, my manager? My cousin.
LifeLock detects, alerts you to, and fixes identity theft guaranteed or your money back.
Wow, that's a lot of people.
Kind of makes you think.
Don't wait to become the one identity theft happens to. Get LifeLock. Save up to 30% with promo code NEWS at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
You ever look at your bank account and think,
okay, that could be better?
Dave Ramsey, weeknights 7 to 10 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
So what happens? He gets the title shot outdoors in a ballpark, and what do I get? A one-way ticket to Palookaville. You was my brother, Charlie. You should have looked out for me a little bit.
Good morning, 523 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We are watching what they're calling the remnants of Tropical Storm Dolly. And it's kind of funny, if you open up like spaghetti models, you see these, you know, scary blobs on the screen. It's always the case. The NOAA map indicates there's actually a sudden thing that showed up in the last day that is headed towards Texas. It's due south of New Orleans at the moment, and it's headed west by northwest into Texas, and that's going to – looks like it's got a 70% chance of formation now. It had gone from – you know, on the map, they give them yellow, orange, and red. Yellow is a maybe. Orange is a little bit more maybe, and red is like, ah! It's usually kind of how they want you to think of it. Well, coming behind it in a thing that had, you know, formed way out in the Atlantic. And, you know, you get used to over the years of just kind of you look where the models are going, where the lines are going, and you just kind of get a sense of, well, that one's going to bend north or that one's going to go south or southwest and move across the island the wrong way, in a good way for us. And then every once in a while you see one, you're like, ooh, that's like headed right at the one pin. That's us if we're not lucky. And that's kind of what it always looked like with Dolly. But now that storm that is just on the eastern side of, is that on the DR? I think that's where that is. Anyway, you know, it's kind of headed straight at Miami at the moment. And the tracks yesterday had been showing it sort of coming into the Gulf, maybe, but coming in as a just, you know, a thing that probably wasn't going to become anything more. But you can't know until it gets out over open water. Low chance of formation into a even a tropical storm, and none of the models have it getting even above just a barest tropical storm. But as we always like to say, you just never know. So we're watching it. I'm not really concerned. Just kind of keeping our eye on it. 525 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. President Trump is now coming after Kristen Welker on Meet the Press, or of Meet the Press. I know Kristen is not, I would say, the greatest at her job. There aren't really anybody doing outstanding work, in my opinion, on the Sunday morning. As Shannon Bream does pretty well on Fox News Sunday. You know, used to be a time when you had five great shows to pick from. And just four, three, because there's, you know, there's Meet the Press, there's This Week, there's State of the Union, there's Fox News Sunday, and who am I missing? I'm leaving somebody out. You know, ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, and Fox News. And so there used to be like five really legitimately really good Sunday morning shows. And then kind of this one became, you know, a little unreliable, and that one became unreliable. And Jake Tapper, who used to be a great White House correspondent in the press corps for the White House, and he would challenge Obama, and he's one of the few who would. Not that he was a conservative, but that he would ask the questions that, you know, White House press reporter is supposed to ask. And then he went and got the gig at CNN and just kind of, you know, drank the Kool-Aid and lost his mind and, you know, has gone way off the deep end ever since, which is sad because I always thought Jake Tapper was a very smart, and he still is a very smart guy, but just, you know, kind of went off the deep end. Anyways, and then he's kind of passed on in not, he's dead, but he's not really doing that show as much anymore. Anyway, the point is there's not a lot of great options on Sunday. Like I said, Shannon does a pretty good job. Most of the rest of them are not great. And Kristen Welker is one of the most not great of them. Nevertheless, okay, and she's the one that had if you don't know the shows and the people, she's the one that had that interview with President Trump where they were in the grain silo. And the rain kept interrupting the interview because, as having formerly been a producer, I will tell you, this is something that a producer would have prevented. But doing an interview live on TV inside a grain silo in the rainstorm, maybe you could have thought about that in advance. So, you know, but she's critical of the president a lot. So now she has said that the president in his political endorsements has had mixed results, meaning he's not, you know, his endorsement doesn't carry the kind of weight that it once did. His position in the party, his ability to sway voters isn't as powerful as it was perceived once to have been, which isn't really true. It's not really accurate. You know, his ability to get his candidates elected, it's not, you know, like he doesn't have a blockade. He doesn't have a total, you know, hegemony over this. But it matters significantly. It matters more in primaries than it does in generals, but that's not really that surprising. But still, you know, he has a pretty good track record. His primary success rate tends to congregate around the 95% plus range, you know, of the candidates that he endorses. They win. It's not 100. The lowest it's ever been was in 2023. It was at 67%. But he only endorsed like seven candidates at that time and, you know, three in the primary. So it's kind of, you know, like, two out of three is, you know, it's a small sample size, we'd say, in statistics. And then general election, it's a little bit lower, just depends on the year, but it varies anyway from 100% when he endorses a few to a lot in 2022 when he endorsed 254 people and 84% of them won. So, I mean, still, that's fairly high. So she says mixed results, and the president says, the hell you say? I'm reporting you to the FCC for being fake news. I laugh because if I didn't laugh, it's going to cry. But, you know, your broadcast license and the FCC shouldn't be there as the fact check mechanism is on a Sunday morning show anchor. If only for the fact that the president himself is so notoriously unreliable as a purveyor of truth. Now, he gets things wrong because he doesn't care about the details. He gets things wrong because he doesn't know the details. He gets things wrong because he cares and knows and misrepresents them. And then every once in a while, he tells the truth, too. I mean, you know, just you got to mix it up for variety's sake. But, of course, the president's ability to, you know, own a network that uses the public airwaves is a little bit different. You know, his posts on Trump Social, as I call it, are, you know, notoriously wrong, just like the statements that he makes are notoriously wrong. But he doesn't use the public airwaves to get his message across the way Kristen Welker does. Well, this has all the look of, you know, we're going to punish people we disagree with because we can. And though I don't love it when people get on the news and say things that are not reliable, and what she said was, I mean, it technically is mixed results, but it's kind of a misleading claim, right? It makes it seem like it's a coin flip whether he endorses you and you win. But this is not the job of the FCC. You don't want the FCC policing the truth value of journalists' comments on broadcast television or radio. I mean, next stop, Ministry of Truth, right? You don't want that. But it's the idea that this president has a willingness to put his thumb on the scale when it comes to information, at which the Biden administration did not through broadcast, but of course through social media. So maybe they've both done it.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. For the first time in a month, the U.S. and Iran have traded fire, with U.S. forces hitting two Iranian rocket launchers and Iran retaliating.
Iran today says it attacked U.S. air bases in Jordan and in the UAE. Well, that was in retaliation for U.S. strikes yesterday. U.S. forces struck two Iranian launchers on Larak Island. Forces there were seen preparing to launch rockets with sea mines into the Strait of Hormuz.
It's Fox's Alex Hogan. Search teams racing to find more than a dozen missing hikers in the Grand Canyon after a flash flood tore through Bright Angel Canyon.
That flood destroyed trails and bridges, stranding hikers. A water pipeline was also knocked out. At least one person has died, and 60 others were able to safely evacuate. More thunderstorms and heavy rain are expected, complicating rescue efforts.
It's Fox's Marianne Rafferty. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. Right now it's 74 degrees. We've got mostly clear skies this morning. We'll get a look at our forecast from Channel 3. That's up here in just a couple of minutes. A jury has found former Pensacola contractor Jesse Lacoste guilty on racketeering and fraud charges. He is accused of taking payments for construction jobs, but never finishing the work. Dozens of victims, including Transformation Church, had trusted Lacoste to fix up their properties.
At the end of the day, even if I wanted him to continue the work, he lost his license. He can't do the work. So where's our money? Because no work was ever done.
And that is Pastor Justin Oswald from the church there speaking with Channel 3. Lacoste is already serving a 10-year prison sentence from a separate 2025 conviction. He now faces up to another 60 years when he's sentenced. A pedestrian has been critically injured after being hit in a marked crosswalk on Saturday night in Escambia County. The driver reportedly fled that scene. Troopers say a red SUV struck the man as he was crossing County Road 453 near State Road 295. The driver, a 27-year-old Pensacola woman, was not hurt. The victim's identity has not yet been released. Troopers say criminal charges in this case are pending. A Century teenager will now be tried as an adult for a deadly shooting at Showalter Park. 16-year-old Kayunta Ewing appeared in court on Friday, where a judge formally transferred the case to adult court. He's being accused of killing Adarius Deshaun Odom in that shooting just about 3 weeks ago and is claiming self-defense. Ewing remains in custody without bond. He is due back in court next week. The Florida Department of Transportation is considering two safety options for Highway 29 and 196 intersection in North Escambia County. One of those options would add a traditional traffic signal. The other is called an R-cut that would block drivers from crossing directly and instead require U-turns to get to the other side. Both options are currently at 60% design, with construction expected sometime between 2027 and 2028. FDOT is holding a public meeting September 15th at Victory Assembly of God, offering both in-person and virtual attendance for people who want more information on that. NASA has now launched the Nancy Grace Roman Space Telescope from the Kennedy Space Center aboard a Falcon X heavy rocket. The mission aims to help astronomers study dark matter, dark energy, and planets outside of the solar system. NASA says the telescope will provide a new atlas of the universe. The first images from Roman are expected early next year. It is 5:34. Let's get a look at our forecast from Channel 3.
We do have a 30% chance of those pop-up showers and thunderstorms today. Otherwise, mostly sunny skies, high near 89 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76. For Tuesday, 40% chance of your showers and thunderstorms, high near 91. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 76. Heading into Wednesday, 50% chance of rain with a high near 91 degrees. And Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 76. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from your First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, we've got 74 degrees with mostly clear skies. Your next news in 30 minutes. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. OpenAI said it plans to wind down its contract supplying models to Cursor with a proposed November 12th cutoff. TribLive.com reports that CEO Michael Truell says OpenAI models account for about 5% of Cursor user traffic and that the companies are discussing the decision. China's top memory chipmaker, Changxin Memory Technologies, has sued the Pentagon over being placed on a list of companies the U.S. says are aiding Beijing's military. The company denied the affiliation. The Pentagon designated CXMT a Chinese military company under the Biden administration, and the Trump administration kept the company on the list in a June update. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says more than 114,000 child car seats sold by Britax are being recalled. The impacted car seats have a screw on the seat's carrying handle that may come loose, causing the handle to partially detach, increasing the risk of an injury. Futures have dropped this morning. That's Your Money Now.
Join Kenny Chartel from Affordable Automotive Gulf Breeze for car care tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Kenny will be sharing his years of expertise on car maintenance, as well as tips and loads of great advice that'll keep your car running in top shape. Whether foreign or domestic, don't miss car care tomorrow at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
This is a statement from the National Weather Service.
September 2020.
The National Hurricane Center predicted Hurricane Sally would come ashore in Mississippi.
A hurricane warning has now been issued.
But then, Sally made a right turn and surprised us by coming ashore here with a destructive power we have not seen since Hurricane Ivan, which is why you should keep your radio on News Radio 92.3 for all the latest watches, warnings, and full team coverage should the storm make that unexpected change of course. News Radio 92.3.
This is a statement from the National Weather Service.
September 2020.
The National Hurricane Center predicted Hurricane Sally would come ashore in Mississippi.
A hurricane warning has now been issued.
But then, Sally made a right turn and surprised us by coming ashore here with a destructive power we have not seen since Hurricane Ivan, which is why you should keep your radio on News Radio 92.3 for all the latest watches, warnings, and full team coverage should the storm make that unexpected change of course. News Radio 92.3.
Watch you weave and breathe your story.
Good morning, 538 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. I don't mean to spend a whole lot of time talking about Trump, but the Lake America thing, Google now says Lake America on our side of the world. If you're here and you look on Google, it says Lake America. If you live in Canada and you look on Google, it says Lake Ontario. If you live in England, it says both. Yay. Anyway, we'll be talking about that with Jimmy Patronis later on today because he's the one who filed the bill in the House to make that change. Weird note out of Texas. Greg Abbott in Texas has proposed shortening the amount of time and or credits that it takes to get a bachelor's degree dramatically. And by dramatically, I mean cutting it down from 4 years to 3 years. He basically says, look, you know, the debt that people acquire in getting a bachelor's degree is high. Well, it's not here in Florida, but okay. Anyway, you know, we do pretty well with that, right? A lot of people go to Bright Futures and either get 100% or 75% of their tuition paid for, which is the most amazing deal. Don't tell anybody outside of Florida about it. It's a great deal here. And our actual cost of tuition is low to begin with. I mean, $8,000 for a state school. I think the last time I looked, I forget what it was, but I went to the University of Illinois, and I think U of I in-state. Actually, PJ, would you look it up for me real quick? In my head, I have it being like $22,000 or something like that. It's ridiculous. And that's for, you know, I mean, granted, it's Illinois, but still, it's still pretty ridiculous. Anyway, so in Florida, it's cheap. It's the number one in the nation, and a lot of kids go and get no debt. Okay, but back to, you know, Texas, where he is. He says people are, you know, spending too much time, spending too much money. We'd like to get them into a three-year program, which I, you know, a lot of people take more than 4 years, right? I mean, I think five has actually become kind of the norm. So Abbott writes in a memo directing, he says, Texas students are our future leaders in the workforce of tomorrow. They deserve the option to receive a degree in a high-demand, high-wage field in less time as a means to reduce the overall cost of securing a degree. Well, I mean, do they deserve the option? I mean, what you could say is, let's give them another kind of degree, right? I mean, you could, because you have the, obviously, you have the associate's degree, which is typically a two-year degree, and you have your bachelor's degree, which is a, you know, theoretically a four-year degree. And, of course, you have master's degrees, depending on the field, is another 2 to 3 years, pretty typical. But he says, let's make it a three-year, 90-hour degree. Well, that's not a bachelor's degree. I mean, you could argue that it's all you need. That's fine. You could argue that a field of study or, you know, a program of study can be shortened. That's fine. But that's not a bachelor's degree. That's changing the rules of how you count something. And that cheapens everybody else's bachelor's degree. You know, you have to talk about the bachelor's degrees earned in Texas before 2026 and then after 2026. I mean, don't tell me that 90 hours is the same as 120. That's absurd. It's not. And the people who have done the work for 120 hours deserve the credit for having done the work for 120 hours. Now, you know, some people might have put in 150 or 60 or 70 hours if they change majors a bunch. But, you know, work done towards not getting a major doesn't really count. And you can tell people when you go to apply for a job with them, look, I've got a bachelor's, but I've also got 28 hours in, you know, as the governor likes to say, underwater wooden nickel pitching or basket weaving or zombie studies or whatever. I mean, but don't call it a bachelor's degree when it's not. Now, here's, you have this kind of interesting push. What did you find out, PJ? You were looking? Oh, okay. I figured it out. I thought you were, I was going to have you look. I saw you typing. I thought you were working on the University of Illinois tuition. I just couldn't remember what it was myself. But, you know, I taught at a place called Greenville College in Illinois, which was a, you know, non-traditional, small, free Methodist university. But I taught in the adult, like, non-traditional program, which is where people go back, like, you know, typically once a week for 3 hours on a day is kind of the approach for that. And maybe they would take more than one class, maybe they wouldn't. And I always thought it was weird that they would do that course basically in 18 months. You'd get a degree. 18 to 24 months. And I always worried that, well, it was accelerated and it was crammed. But, you know, accelerated means less. Just like online degrees, you know, they're different. And so redefining the parameters of what counts as a degree, I don't have a problem with that is as long as you advertise it as this. I mean, it's kind of a shrinkflation only of your college education. You know, it looks like the 24-ounce package, but it actually we've made a hollow bottom and we've kind of shrunk the overall size so that it kind of looks the same, but not quite the same, and it's actually 19 ounces. Well, that is not the same. And I think you ought to describe them as the same thing. We already have, you know, non-traditional student pathways that I sort of question the comparable worth of those things if they're done in 18 to 24 months. Associate's degrees are, that's more the speed of the associate's degree. So anyway, you have Rand Corporation did a study that said 26 states have at least one college offering a three-year bachelor's degree. And listen, if you do 120 hours in 3 years, I mean, God bless you, right? You know, you're doing, maybe you're doing 18 hours a semester and then you're picking up 4 to 6 or 8 in the summer as well. That's fine because you've actually done the same, you've lifted the same amount of work. But, you know, don't redefine the thing and pretend that it's the same, even if you think that people ought to be able to go get a job based on a smaller amount. 544 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you lock yourself out of your car, Ace unlocks. But they do so much more than that. That's what they used to do. And, I mean, they still do it, okay? They actually started doing that at UWF, you know. Inexpensive, call us. And they basically had a pager, a payphone, a Mustang, and a 4Runner, and they started a business. Chris Roney did. And that was what they did, was they unlocked car doors for UWF students. Then, over time, they became other things, which is now what they do is most of their business is actually key fobs, which is cutting and programming, especially nowadays, you know, the laser ones with the laser keys or the fob that runs the car. And, you know, most of the times nowadays cars, you don't even have a key in them for like mechanical emergency, but you don't actually use that key very often. Well, they program those. They cut those. No problem. Just like the dealership can do. They have all the same equipment, all the same computers, all the same information, but significantly cheaper. Ask me how I know, because I got my key cut there from my Honda, and it was great, and it was cheap, and it worked perfectly, which is exactly the idea. They do residential rekeying, installing locks, keypad locks, app-based locks, which means you can, you know, choose to let the housekeeper in from, like, 4 to 6, you know, Mondays and Wednesdays or whatever. It's a very good system. Businesses, all kinds of stuff. So as Chris always tells me, Andrew, Ace Unlocks is the name, but we are so much more than that, and that is our one problem is getting people to realize all the different things we do. Give them a call 24 hours a day, 505-7545, or stop by at Airport and the Railroad Tracks and mention my name, Andrew McKay, and get 10% off.
You know those big banks where you're just an account number, where customer service is a chatbot, and hold music is your least favorite song? Yeah, we're not that. We're Penair Credit Union. Local, member-owned, and actually built to work for you. With better rates, few, if any, fees, and service from people who know you by name. So why bank big when you can bank better? Visit penair.org to learn more. Federally insured by NCUA.
You recognize the smell of marijuana, but it's not just a smell. It's a warning. If you can smell it, harmful chemicals are entering your lungs, bloodstream, and brain, and our children too. Every inhale affects brain development and triples the risk of serious respiratory issues. Protect your kids and grandkids from the dangers of marijuana. Their future is on the line. This message is sponsored by the Department of Children and Families and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to The Fish House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, Wednesday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing ABC at The Fish House, featuring Good Boy Vodka ready-to-drink cocktails, Rosh Hashanah at Jackson's, Jazz at Jackson's with Ellen Vinson, Fall Harvest Dinner at Angelina's, and celebrate Thanksgiving with Great Southern, Wednesday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
You're not looking for an argument.
You just want to know what's going on.
And that's a good thing.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Parquet margarine.
Butter.
No, parquet. It says right on your lid, parquet margarine.
Butter.
Smooth, delicious. Butter.
Parquet.
Let's
So you may remember, back in what, the 70s, I think it was, Paul Ehrlich wrote this book called The Population Bomb. And he's not the first one to talk about overpopulation. It goes all the way back to a monk in the 1700s, Malthus, who wrote about this on population. And, you know, you've had then, you know, people like Ted Turner were big on overpopulation and thought we ought to be trying to reduce the population of the world down to a billion. And, you know, those of us who, you know, believe in the Bible where it says be fruitful and multiply, we said, no, I mean, I don't think this is right. And have you ever been to Nebraska? I mean, we're not really running out of land. Montana, you know, you've seen Yellowstone. Does it look like we're overpopulating everywhere? And the answer is no. We have a lot of population density in some areas, and we don't have a lot of population density in an awful lot of the world. So we always thought that that was kind of a mistake and a myth and a lie, and that, you know, people are not the problem. But this, by the way, this shows up in the, you know, the last 20 years more as the climate crisis, which if only we had fewer people farting and belching and driving cars and doing the things that cows do and destroying the world through their carbon dioxide emissions, then, you know, we'd be better off. It's the same basic agenda of reducing the human population or of controlling the human population, which they say is the problem, just with a little bit different emphasis. Instead of running out of land, which we're not, or running out of water, which we're not, and historically, every time we think we're running out of a thing, we find a much better way to do it. You know, a third of the country was farmers in 1900, and I think the population of farmers now is like 3% or something like that, and they produce more goods on less land and feed a much larger country and export half again as much just by farming technology, as we always hear from Ron Jenkins. Anyway, just a general overview. The reason I bring this up is because Singapore is one of these countries that has really gone out of its way to try to, you know, hey, let's make fewer babies. Babies are a problem. Just like, you know, Japan, India has gone about this. China has gone about this. And if you've been paying attention, you know, those of us who believed in, again, the Bible, said, be fruitful and multiply. I don't think God's changed his mind since then, so probably your approach is wrong. So all of these places trying to incentivize fewer children, whether actually mandating fewer children like in China or whether just encouraging it in other places, all of a sudden, lo and behold, they have a problem. What's the problem? People living too long, people taking, you know, draining the state, you know, of resources because they're no longer producing in retirement and not making enough babies. So you basically the pyramid scheme is collapsing. I mean, you know, in a certain sense, humanity is based on a pyramid scheme. If you keep making babies and bringing them into the world, then they will keep being productive, and that productivity can throw off enough side benefit to take care of the elderly who are, you know, always around that need help, right? So it is kind of a pyramid scheme, but it's always worked well as long as you keep bringing people in, which is the key to a good pyramid scheme. You got to keep bringing people in. Well, if you stop bringing people in, guess what happens? Your economy collapses. So, you know, Japan is facing this problem. China is all of a sudden no longer telling people to only have one kid. They're like incentivizing having more than, you know, multiple, more than two, even three kids. That's completely a culture change for them. And they're facing this challenge of supporting an aging population and having fewer and fewer kids. Well, Singapore is one of the worst. Singapore is a little teeny tiny country, very, very small. 270 square miles. Like Escambia County, for comparison, is 650 square miles. So we are 2.5 times as big as Singapore. Okay. And we are a little bit familiar with Singapore because you have ST Engineering, Singapore Technologies Engineering, here. And so we've kind of paid a little bit of attention to them. And the reason I mention this is because Singapore is now actually paying people to have kids. The government of Singapore has come out with, it's a 70,000 Singaporean dollars. I don't know what their currency is, but it's 55,000 US. So they are promising 55 grand a kid. It's not all up front. It's about 9 grand up front as your baby bonus. And then there's an extra bonus when they reach 17. And then all along the way, it's educational funding, health and child support, discounted nursery care for preschool kids. If you apply to a government housing, you get a better chance if you have more kids. So the family with three kids gets put in the front of the lottery as opposed to the family with two kids or one kid. So there's all kinds of ways the government has tried, you know, to basically completely reverse course and encourage people to please have children because our economy is collapsing as a result. The fertility rate in Singapore in 2001, it was 1.41, which is bad. Like 2.1 is replacement, you know. Two people, you know, the idea is you're supposed to make 2.1 because, you know, some are going to die. Okay. So if everybody's making a little bit more than two babies per family, then you're doing okay. I mean, historically in the U.S., it's been much higher than that. I think historically it's been more like 3 to 4. Of course, it was a lot more than that a long time ago when you had high infant mortality, but we don't have that problem anymore. Okay. So Singapore was at 1.4, which is really bad in 2001. And it has now fallen to 0.87. So two people are making even less than a single person on average. Stable again being 2.1. Because of their population density and their weird Malthusian, Paul Ehrlichian, you know, worry that they're going to fall out of having enough people. Well, Singapore's population density, just to put it in perspective, and you can kind of understand why they would get this wrong, because it's 21,000 people per square mile. 6 million people on a footprint the size of about a third, a little bit more than a third of Escambia County. Meanwhile, we have 330,000 people on 600 square miles, 500 per square mile. So they have 21,000 people per square mile. Again, think in our terms, if that would be about 13 million people living in Escambia County versus 330,000, just to kind of wrap your brain around how dense their population is. Florida in general is about 400 a square mile, 24 million on about 66,000 square miles of land. Miami is even not that dense. It's at 13,000. That's half the density of Singapore. That's just the city. That's not the county. But the city is 500,000 on 36 square miles. So if that kind of helps you understand just how many people are living in Singapore, but that's still not a problem as long as you have the ability to import resources and be productive. I mean, Manhattan, people don't have a problem living in Manhattan. They don't have a problem living in Los Angeles. You know, high density areas, Chicago, Tokyo, it's fine as long as you have a place that you can import resources from, which, again, that's always available. 555 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. The floods in China, we had the flooding in the Grand Canyon. Was it 15 people, I think? That's what I've heard has passed away in the Grand Canyon flooding over the weekend. The flood numbers, we warned you about this, that the flood in Nepal was going to go. I don't even think any of these numbers are realistic until, you know, probably a couple weeks from now we have a better count. But there's still like, 90 Americans, I think, are missing? What do you got? 15 so far. Okay. Which is terrible, and you saw the video online. It's the same basic thing, just on a much smaller scale and not hitting a population center with this, you know, mud flow taking out buildings. Here's the only reason I bring this up, in addition to just kind of ongoing paying attention to it, praying for those folks. In China, it's censored. In China, if you live in China, remember we always talk about China having control over the media, China being a totalitarian communist state, China, you know, beware what you give the state the ability, and by the state, we don't mean Florida, we mean like the catch-all phrase for any government, okay? Be careful what you give the government, if you prefer, the ability to do. Because in China, the government under the communists has tremendous control over information. They're living 1984, okay, in China. Just like, you know, Russia before them, right? You know, and just like North Korea and just like Iran, although not communist, but, you know, same basic problem. In Cuba, same thing. You know, people like to yell and scream about, you know, we're Orwellian. Well, you know, why don't you go to a place where it's actually being done? In their mind, you know, I mean, they don't let people read Orwell because Orwell makes fun of, you know, and points out the problems of that. But they're actually living it, okay, in China, largely. Not entirely, but, you know, largely. So they control the internet, and the people in China have not seen the flood. They don't know that there was this big flood. It's been barely covered even on state TV. And I don't really understand the reasons why. I know there's this history with Tibet as a breakaway state, and they're willing, you know, they don't want to be perceived as fumbling the response or as somehow responsible or something like that. They somehow apparently perceive the Nepal flood and the thousand or thousands of people that have died in that incident as being, you know, makes them look bad somehow or other because it's right on their territory. But just as an example of everybody in America, if you have a TV or a smartphone or a tablet or a newspaper, you've seen the pictures, you know the facts. Me telling you there was a big flood in Nepal is, you know, week-old information that's still a horror show, but you all know it. In China, they don't know it. Just like, you know, people don't know there was a Tiananmen Square because they've controlled the information for so long. And it's frightening to imagine anywhere in the world where the government has that kind of power to distort truth, distort people's. And, you know, of course, we believe in free flow of information. We believe in freedom of the press, and we don't like government censorship, which is why when we talk about things like, you know, the Biden administration influencing social media, which was wrong, to not share certain things, and it was really wicked and contrary to, you know, the concept of America in the First Amendment. It is also wrong and wicked and contrary to the idea of the First Amendment when the Trump administration does it. I sometimes see Trump advocates and defenders, you know, MAGA folks, saying, well, Biden did this. Okay. And it was wrong then, and it's wrong now. Like the name change thing. Well, you know, people change the names of men to women, and they change the names of forts, and they change it. Yeah, and it was wrong for that, too. Like, changing names for stupid reasons is still stupid. No matter why you do it. You should be against name changing in general. And, you know, the folks, well, you know, Biden did it. Yeah, and it was wrong. And so it's wrong now. Well, we're just doing what they did. Yes! You can't criticize the thing and then turn around and do the thing and say it's okay because they did the thing that you criticize. You kind of have to pick a side. 437-1620, 437-1620. Let's see. Somebody texted in about the state mandating about the quicker ability to get university degrees. Let's see. Yeah, the number of states statutes requiring a four-year bachelor's degree across the country would make those Texas university degrees pointless in many jurisdictions, which is kind of the point. But Texas is maybe trying to lead the front. I would have no problem if they just changed the name. Call it a bachelor's degree light. You know, there's beer, there's light beer. You know, I don't know, in Florida we're serving IPA. I don't know, it's not quite the right analogy, but, you know, something along those lines. Drama at the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting coming up next.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3.